We are activating your unique self-discovery one show at a time. The Orchard of Wisdom Self-Discovery Podcast are at your fingertips, just waiting to inspire and invite you in discovering just how awesome you really are and how to navigate through life in joy, enrichment, personal abundance, in mind, body, spirit, heart, and soul. All the people we bring you are here to serve you on your journey of life. Do enjoy our next show. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Ignite Your Heart and Soul, which we hope will become an addiction for you right here on selfdiscoverymedia.com. I'm your host, Sarah Troy, and my wonderful repeat guest. This is the seventh time that she's been on Self Discovery Media, so I'm always delighted to have her back, is Reverend Kimberly Brown. We really have to go back and listen to all her other wonderful shows, because she used to be a nun, and believe me, she's the life that she has packed into her life is probably many people's lives, but it is, she spread the love, she spread just the meaning of life, and she really does ignite our heart and souls. And I please go back and listen to all the other shows that she's done with us. All you have to do is put in Reverend Kimberly Brown, Braun, on selfdiscoverymedia.com, and all of her shows will come up. But today we're going to be talking about the force of love and how to be the force of love. We're also going to be talking about the power of spiritual community or retreat, why it matters, what they do for you, and how we go about discerning our choices, and the paradox of your path being both solitary and part of the collective. What does this even mean, and how do we walk our paths most fully in light of that paradox? And how to ask the questions that will truly open up our life's satisfactory answers. In life, we oftentimes have desires to understand or experience or know something for the right reason. But why is it our question? And sometimes the yield of the fruit of the sublime answer. At other times, it seems that we go unheard and unanswered. So I'm just want to dive right back into our wonderful talks. We have already got a lovely platform there in which to talk about today. A force of love, you know, it's we don't force love. That's not what we're talking about. But the force of the energy of love and how empowering it is. Welcome back, my love.
Thank you. Well, it's just amazing to be with you again. And I loved as you went into some of the topics that we hope to include in this session. And I was thinking internally, I'm like, okay, everybody, get ready to camp out. We'll be going at this for the next 48 hours.
With us, we could, but we'll restrain ourselves for the show. let's start with the force of love, because, you know, when we are looking at love, people are looking for it all in the wrong places, and they're looking for it externally, and they're not looking for it internally, and making that connection, you know, with that divine force energy. So it's something that we have to relook at what it really means.
I agree with you so much. In fact, even the probing, the inquiry around topics like this themselves yield the fruit of the experience. We can underestimate the power of holding our own counsel and really asking ourselves more deeply, well, what do I even think love is? Mm. And what is, I was reflecting before our interview, because the word force does sound, in a world that has a lot of misuse of power, does sound aggressive, and can oftentimes be coupled with the word manipulation or the word control. And yet, even though we are timeless beings, and for everyone listening, you'll know if you watch any of the other shows that Sarah and I have done, that I'm sharing my truth as a way for you to excavate and discover your truth. So implicit and explicit in what I share are perspectives and beliefs and truths that I've come to through my experience, but I don't hold that it's necessarily a universal truth or even a way to speak to it universally. So I always have to give that caveat so that no one enters it thinking that they have to have that same perspective. But when I look at the world and in my experience of the world, there is a play, there's a dance happening. And in that dance, there's an energy exchange. And the energy that's going on, first and foremost for us as individuals, creates us as who and what we are. And secondarily, puts us into a situation in creation that's all relationship. And therefore, we are always, always working with power, yeah. Our sense of empowerment, our balance of power in our actions and our words and our thoughts, the balance of our choices being powerful and drawing close to what's in that balance and shifting into new ways when we find we're imbalanced. So I like the word force, and partly because I'm an Aries, I have a lot of fire and I like movement. And force is something to be reckoned with.
Yes.
When you meet somebody that's incredible, they are a force. Even if you think of somebody that you might think of as the most peaceful person in the world, you know, Gandhi is an iconic image of both an incredibly peaceful individual and a force to be reckoned with. So it's good to ask ourselves, what's our relationship with even the word force? And when we talk about love, what are we even talking about?
Yes.
When we say the word love, I mean, my word, that word has a myriad of meanings to people, both superficial and of the deepest. And we're talking about that deepest.
We look at force, we look at power, we look at love. Very often they're throwaway words. And they're words that we don't actually understand how to use. And, you know, I love empowerment because for me, obviously, my path is always about the empowerment of what we can be, how we can empower other people. And that if we do step into a space of power, we have to understand the responsibility of that power and the force in which we are in that power. And is it empowering to the other people around you? Because if it is power for the sake of power, it's a force that is against people, not for people. Mm-hmm. But when it is a power that is empowering, it is an invitation for people to step into their own power.
Right, right. And M-E-M is such a great word, right? Because it connotes in, being in our power, and it connotes an energy exchange, M, like empath. Mm. So you get the paradox right there, right in that word. It is an inviting word, and I'm glad that culture uses it much more frequently, the empowerment. And you laid out a really important point around love. For me, what we're talking about here is the essential elements of being. And implicit in those essential elements is that being is by its very nature abundant, joyful, creative, expressive, harmonious, peaceful, and we could pull in a lot of other words. So when I speak of the word love, or when I think of the word love, I think of my core of my being in which I've come forth, and that I'm in the process of embodying more and more. Mm-hmm. And our use of the word love is, I think, very important right now, especially these past 3 years. I think humanity has always had a driving unconscious motive of fear. But it is certainly magnified and been expressed more globally these past 3 years. And we see resulting tensions, divisions, stresses, anxieties, depressions. And love can be the very force wherein we not only find ourselves to be able to navigate from a stable place and enjoy our life, sinking into discouragement, but also we become part of the solution.
That is the key. You know, to every problem, there is a solution, and it really comes down to how we look at things. And, you know, we are going through, you know, the Celtic rune Haglas disruption. We are going through disruption right now. And part of that disruption is to get rid of the old way of thinking, of the old dialogue, the old practices, and step into a higher frequency, a higher state of love. And I think when people have been deprived, of connection, and they're in confusion, they very often go into rejection. But resistance is actually futile, because the energies are asking us to rise up, to turn the volume up to a higher frequency of that love. And when you step into that higher frequency of that love vibration, you really want to protect it. And you want to protect that love vibration because of the essence of what it is and what it makes you become. And I think the invitation during this disruption is to overcome the turmoil that is going on, to remove yourself from the hurricane, and to seek that balance of love, of kindness, of caring, of empathy, of compassion, because I think that's what the world is hungry for right now, and we're all in need of it. So why aren't we giving it? When we give it, we receive it, we create it. Don't wait for it to be given. Start the giving.
Yes. And to build on what you're sharing, there is a great book, 10 Cosmic Powers, and it's a tantric book. It's out of print, but I see that you can get copies of it. And it highlights 10, and it's divine feminine powers, 10 different energetic powers that exist to bring the world to its fulfillment, creation, fullest expression. And the third one I love particularly, it's divine desiring. And in that is the speaking. And this is all about the feminine, all about in tantric word, it's the spanda, the vibrational element of the creative process. Divine desiring is the noting that at all times, the timeless source, the ineffable, at all times is desiring us with the fullness of love. So that we're born from that desire, we're created from that desire. But then within that, we are constantly desired. Even, and in the moments when we feel very alone, abandoned, betrayed, where we have placed our trust and that trust has been hurt, we can discover in a new way the unconditional quality of being loved into existence. And then that gives us the freedom to do all the things that you're mentioning about giving love, because to give is to receive, and making the choices that encourage our vibrational integrity to remain pure and innocent and strong. No, I think one of the beliefs that's being really dismantled or challenged, we'll see if it's actually dismantled, right? Time will tell, is the whole no pain, no gain. Like all these old adages, right? Suffering is the way. Well, suffering is happening. We're all experiencing it, but it's not the way. It just happens to be part of our collective experience right now. And I think part of the dismantling through this. What was the word you used? The Celtic word? I love that.
It's a Celtic rune called Haglas, and it means disruption.
Oh,
And you
wow.
can't have clarity until you've cleaned things out. So it's disrupting and shaking us up to wake us up for us to step up and change it up and grow up vibrationally, because we need, in order to get clarity, we need to remove and disrupt what is in the way.
Yes, I love that. I love that. Well, in that process, right, we get to discover that really all transformation happens from a deep experience of love, being loved. Even if you look at the mystics of all traditions, you will see that even though they may account and recount great challenges, their moments of true change, where they embody love more and more, always happen from a place of great gentleness or bliss, or sweetness, ecstasy, healing, and joy. They don't happen from the very challenge itself.
No, it is in the healing of that challenge that you make that discovery. The in 10 and a half years of doing this, I've come across some extraordinary people who have had kind of challenges no human should have to go through. Yet they made a choice to go through the healing process, to look to there has to be light. I don't have to stay in this darkness. And they've discovered their strength, they've discovered their courage, they've discovered their abilities, and they've discovered their purpose. And that purpose is to help other people going through the struggles and to show them. For a long time, I was in the dark, and in the dark, I was lost. When I came out into the light blinded me, and I felt the shadows chasing me. Now I can go into the dark extremely happily, for I am the light in the dark. But I had to go through the process to be at home with that. And I think that discovery of love and what love means and the essence of who you are comes from the willingness to take that journey and go through that process.
Yes, amen to that. And it brings it to one of the topics you mentioned about how solitary our path is, and yet paradoxically, we are social beings. We are meant to evolve in community. And I have always found for myself, all my shifts have happened solitary. They have been moments between me and the divine, me and the beloved. My word for all of that unknown mystery is the beloved. They have always happened in that space, solitary. And yet it's been within the context of community that those solitary moments, it's almost like community is the fertile ground for all the plants. If it's fertile, right? It could be toxic ground too that brings, that's not so good for growing strong.
A good dose of charcoal in there to bring up the toxins.
Yes. But the solitary path, and in it's when we truly accept that we are alone on our path, humanly speaking, we discover our greatest connection
It's
to the people
allowing, isn't
around
it?
us.
Surrendering and allowing, right? On my shows, I draw the analogy that we're all in discovery of what instrument we are. And when we discover that instrument, we will learn how to play it. And we can play it well as a singular person. But when we join the orchestra in our personal strength and in harmony collectively together, we dance together in that orchestra. We create a symphony that resonates out way beyond ourselves. And I think that we have to have the solo journey. The solo discovery in order to discover our strength and know which orchestra it belongs to.
Yes. And to discover how supported we are. Because in that solitariness, we discover that we are all we need. And that's got a divinity aspect to it for sure. And we have all we need, not
And we're never alone.
and we're never alone.
No,
And it's
not with that
beyond
source.
survival, right? It's creative and abundant and full. It is not just that I have what I need to make it. I have what I need. I am what I need. Flourish abundantly and creatively and expressively. And that is such a power to awaken into that part of ourselves. And we so easily, it was one of the reasons I loved being in a monastery. I had numerous driving factors, but one of the things that I loved that I knew would be there was that living primarily in silence let me know that, let me experience straight on that wherever there were blocks and limitations, they were within me. It's so easy to fool ourselves,
Oh, yeah.
a tension in a relationship or something confusing happens or something hurtful happens, and we can so easily get caught in the story. But when you're living in silence and something arises, it's just you. I mean, even if something happened, even if somebody like looked at you a certain way and you took it the wrong way, things are happening, but the way my response is arising within me is just simply all me. That
It's
is
my perception that it is that way. Why
yeah.
is my perception looking at it that way?
Yes.
Right. And you know what discord is in me that I am looking at it that way? And
Yeah.
how can I change that perception?
Yes. Good. Very good.
I mean, ultimately, even though we are social creatures and we're all meant to be in this together, it is ultimately an alone journey to be a part of that collective. I used to be a people pleaser, bend into a pretzel to be what everybody else wanted me to be until I quite honestly was crumbs on the floor because I couldn't please everybody, and it was at the cost of myself. And when it was, I cannot do it anymore, and I had to pick up my own crumbs and put myself back together. I became this flawsome. All the cracks, all the little holes and the missing pieces that kind of came back together created a whole that was more vulnerable in my spirituality, more vulnerable in my trust and in my love, more selective and more discerning, but also more empowering of who I was and why I was, and that I'm enough. And if you cannot share my essence, if you cannot receive my essence, that is okay. I don't have to bend to be anybody, you know, for anybody else. It is take me or leave me, and that is all right, because whatever journey you're on, you either can enjoy my the essence of who I am, or you're not ready for it, or it's not your cup of tea. And I think when we stop pleasing other people and go, I'm enough unto myself. If I can be alone with myself and not feel lonely, then you know you've arrived home.
Yes, and I could feel the energy of what you're saying. I love that. Wow, just what a transformation in your share of being people pleaser and the way you're speaking now about your own inner shift. Wow, what easefulness. What a great grace. Yes.
I think, you know, we do love to be around other people and we do love to share. But I don't know about you, but for me, I love my silent and my alone moments. That is my rejuvenation. That is my rebalancing, my equilibrium building. And it allows me then, when I am amongst people, to share my essence, to share my energy, to share who I am. And know that I can then go back into myself and be with myself, and don't have the need, you know, to be around people. And I think I used to be lonely in a crowd, lonely in a marriage, and I had people around me all the time, and I never felt a part of them. Now I don't need to feel alone or lonely
Right.
because I am not alone. I know Source is always with me. I am never alone. And I can be at home with self. But it took a journey to get there.
It's the beautiful hero's journey that you're speaking, that's all of our heroines' journey. All of us, right? It's always a process, I believe, of we come into form and somehow we're this individual. Yet this individual has a boundless essence, the ineffable, the divine, God, if you will. And that coming into form, in a way, has this illusion of separate. And the discovery and the awakening is into the fullness of our being that's not separate from anything. And in that, our cup is full and our solitude is full. But that's, I think, the beauty of the story, the divine story in creation. It's one of the reasons I love chant so much, is chant is oftentimes the vibrating story of divine in creation, because each one of us in this journey is such has such an opportunity to be shouting it from the mountaintops, just like you did. And like Rumi says, jump onto the, jump onto the roof and sing, open your voice loud and sing the song of the beloved to all the lands. And that's what I'm hearing in you. And I love that too. It's an ongoing exploration for myself. And one of the things I love to do when thinking about this paradox of the solitude and the community and or social is I've always had a very, very deep connection to beings in other dimensions and beings who are who have an essential presence today, even though they lived in the past.
Yes, because you know, there is no border between time. There is no border between dimensions. It is just purely a portal that you go through into these other dimensions, and these other dimensions come through to us. We put so much restriction on, but where's the door? But where's this? But where's that? And it is a state of beingness that allows you to receive or to travel or to have these experiences, because what is time? It is folded upon each other.
Right. I love that. I love the way you spoke about time right there. And in having that experience directly, when it moves from a concept or a possibility into an actualization and an immediacy, when it moves to that, I think there is the fruit of the discovery that the connectivity, that true connection happens when I am the love force, when
yes.
I am that love, and when I am that, because it can show to our minds, oh, I have this very deep timeless connection with my great grandma, or to Archangel Gabriel, or to Metatron, or to some other dimensional being, or even other realms right out here in creation, that in the experience of that itself, in the experience, it breaks open the way we're time bound.
Yes.
To discover that there is a wealth when we are solitary and realize and awaken into ourselves as love. There is the abundance of relationship that not only happens, but it's really, really satisfying, right? It's really juicy. Yes.
Very. You know, for a very long time, I was a sickly child who spent a lot of time alone at home in bed. And, you know, I used to play with dead people, and my mom would go, "Who the hell am I talking to?" And it's like, well, can't you see them? Can't you feel them? And it is just, for me, those dimensional doors were always open. At some point in my life, a little bit too much of a detriment, because I didn't protect myself and went down a different road there for a while. But it was always that there is this bleeding into the other dimensions and time zones and lifetimes that it was all of, you know, I think it was just simply an attunement of that frequency.
Right.
And when you're in that frequency can take you X, Y, and Z, right? And it's which vibe are you riding on? And then if you're on a different vibe, you could be riding somewhere else. And I think you talked about chanting, and music is very important to me because it feeds me. It nourishes me. It balances me. It soothes me and it ignites me. And it's something that is a language that my psyche needs, my soul needs. And it's not necessarily the words, it's the music itself, the frequency of the music itself. And I think if we could open ourselves up and take the flippers off and let go of the restrictions and open ourselves up to where your soul wants to show you.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. Isn't that lovely? Look at the way you said that, where your soul wants to show you, right? Because that ascent and that allowing opens up these horizons that are beyond, you know, quoting a scripture passage, eye has not seen nor ear heard what is prepared for those who love.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I mean, and this again, the word love, you know, we use it, we throw it around. I love chocolate. I love this. I love that. But do we understand the true thing of love? And I think the reason why we use the word so much, because it is an expression of desire. It is an expression of of encompassing, but when we truly actually understand the energy of love, that it is our generator, it is that always there that fortifies us, that guides us. It allows the spirit, the soul, the universe, whichever you wish to call it, to come through and resonate with your heart in truth, and allows your spirit to go into action, and it allows your mind to know what it needs to know when it needs to know it. It is clarity.
Yeah.
But without the love, you can't receive it.
Right. What a redemption you're offering for the word love. Right. That can be such a salve, you know, redeeming it, pulling it from. And I think where the word is used in less than ineffable ways, there's opportunity there, because sometimes with the stressors of life, there doesn't seem to be much to rest in. I work with thousands of people who life has weighed them, because they said yes to something in love and found themselves then with heavy yokes upon their shoulders.
Yes.
And therefore, when the sentiment of love arises for something that's not the ineffable, like a piece of chocolate or, you know, a really good foot massage,
you know, they're all very lovable.
Where the opportunity is, it's like the door opening a little, and it's the light that's behind it that's so brilliant. It's to flood through the crack. And the person connects to the sentiment, to the quality, just a little bit. And where the opportunity is to go beyond chocolate being the thing,
yes,
or, you know, this great rap dance being the thing, or, and to not stop there, but in that one little place where you find oasis. Wow, how many single parents have I served and talked with, and that who are working two jobs,
yes,
who find great joy in the children they're caring for, and yet their neural pathways are just completely weighed down. So having that glass of red wine at night,
yes,
like this moment of rest, this moment they can breathe, and to provide opportunities for themselves to then go beyond that.
Yes.
Not eliminate it, because it's a limited form. Keep it part of the routine, but then go beyond it with little steps, little practices,
yes,
little shifts of mind and heart that let the soul open up just a little bit more, like as that one taste. I listen to Thich Nhat Hanh's writings on eating, because he speaks very meticulously, because I know what it's like to be a monastic, about really tasting.
Savoring.
Yes. And then let it be this that
yeah
can open the door even wider, so that all of the support that's right here for us, even amid the stressors of life, can start showing up.
It's opening up our senses.
Yeah.
You know, we're so scared to embrace our sensuality, because immediately becomes associated with sexuality, which immediately becomes something that is meant to be dirty. And
right,
that is, it's a perception that we've put on all of that. But by living in our senses, we are awakened. Our taste buds, our eyes, our ears, our touch, our feel, everything that's inside of us is heightened. And we see things so much more clearly. We see the small, tiny, weeny details of the beauty of not only this planet, but of life in itself and of our lives. Because we're not thinking, love is so grand,
yes,
that we can see and appreciate the beauty in the little ladybug.
Yes, yes, yes. And the microcosm and the macrocosm, the lines that seem to differentiate those, become dotted lines.
Yes.
If not dissolved. And in the ladybug itself becomes the universe.
Yes.
The experience of the universe.
Yes. It's the appreciation, the gratitude. And I think if we could live in a gratitude attitude, for every small thing that we have, it is the builder of the greater things. And taking love in a relationship. A relationship isn't to complete you or define you. A relationship with someone should complement you. There is you, there is them, then there is the essence of the us.
That is there to even complement and magnify, right?
Yes. Yes.
Amplify, yeah,
Yeah.
magnify and amplify. Yes, gratitude's a great practice. I find as well a wonderful practice that doesn't take going anywhere or doing anything that pulls you away from a task is take a moment and just begin to notice the sensation of being in your body alone. Like,
Pain and all. Pain and all. Even when you're in pain, acknowledge it. I live physically in pain, and sometimes I just acknowledge it. And it's like, okay, I can feel my body, even if it's in the pain. I know I'm alive, even if it's in the pain, right? And maybe the pain is telling me something. Okay, I don't need to be so magnified if you paid attention to me, gave me the rest and the nurturing that I need. And it is my partner. It is my partner, and it is that taps me on the shoulder sometimes and says, "Hey, you're not paying attention." And other times, it's just that little thing to nudge you. "Hey, you're feeling a little blah. Here's to remind you, you're alive."
Yes, totally, totally. What is it? There's a number of different animated movies that have come out that really play out these sensations. Inside Out, is that
Yes.
what
Yes, that was excellent. Excellent. Yes. That was so good. And again, that's something about our emotions. We're very emotional creatures as human beings, right? And our emotions are indicating where we're at or how we feel at the moment. So yes, acknowledge your emotion, spend your emotion, but don't become emotional about your emotions.
Honor but not over-identify.
Yes,
Engage
exactly.
yourself, exactly. And it brings me to the thought about the retreats and the community and the choices we make around that. So you named the practice of gratitude, and I named the practice of being in the body, and you named letting your sensations be your companion, and that is such a these and there's a myriad of them. I want to everyone that's watching, and probably everyone that watches your show knows there are a myriad of practices, but there are it's limitless. It is
Yes,
literally limitless the
which
things
makes
we
it
can
exciting.
do, without spending any money, without devoting hours a day, without so many simple ways. And with that, there are valuable choices about setting aside time, prioritizing. We prioritize, oh, we over prioritize everything.
Yes.
Even children oftentimes don't know what to do with themselves when they have free time because they've been so directed
Right.
prioritizing their time. Where are the times when you went outside and you wondered, what are we going to do today? And then somebody starts picking up a stone, and then you make up a game with stones, and
Yes, because that was part of the wonderment and the adventure of life. And I've just done a show on healthy and happy, and that health is happiness. And we've forgotten how to be happy, to be simply joyful, to be goofy, or as you say, just to be present in the moment and just play with what's in front of you and see where it goes. We've forgotten how to be have the wonderment of life. What's next? What's around the corner? We've gone, what's next? What's around the corner? Instead of what's next?
Love it. I love it. That's so great. I love that. I hope everyone watches the video to see Sarah's expression on that.
If
That
we can look at that instead of being so worried about, what could be next because of what has been, we've got to understand we can change, we can shift, we can go down a different path, we can seed and, different seeds in the soil. We can even clean the damp soil
Yeah.
and regenerate it. It's like Just because it has been doesn't mean it has to be. And if you can get up every day and go, what does today have? Even if you have a routine. I have a routine of doing these shows. I have a routine of all the editing. I have a routine of all of this and that. But every single one of them could be different. Sometimes they could be exasperating, but that's okay. And sometimes there could be, that moment, that joy, that does that little thing that picks your day up, that made my day. Right? And it's just allowing yourself to immerse yourself into your day and let your day be what it's meant to be.
Yes. And that harkens back to what we were speaking about, that in doing, in shifting ourselves to have that perspective about ourselves and our lives, in doing that, worlds open up to us.
Yes.
Though it can be scary to shift our perspective that dramatically, where we do not lean into the habits and patterns that give us this false sense of support, that shifting opens up a panoramic experience of support beyond what we could imagine.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it's setting the vibe to invite the tribe. You know, and if you decide to change your frequency, and you know, we all get bad days, you know, and those days are there, you know, for their reason and whatever that is, and sometimes you just got to get through them. But don't get bogged down by them. I think we get bogged down by too much. You know, I had a show out last week on, you know, the sorrows of life, how we overcome them. And when you're looking at the wars here and the floods there and the fires here and this here and that there, it can be so utterly consuming. But if we look at, okay, if I want to be the change that's going to change all of these things, I need to be in my own empowerment. I need to be in my own truth, my own essence, my own love, so that I have the cup runneth over to help other people ignite their own heart and souls and meaningful purpose so they can we can all then be the solution. I really honestly do believe that if each and every one of us turned our frequency up, our hertz up to a higher vibration, we would be already the solution that this planet and us as human beings need.
And taking that even further, we would be the solution, and this is the solution.
Yes. Amen. And it's simple, right? It just requires you to love yourself, love your life, love your purpose, and love the beauty that is all around us. Is that so hard?
It is, right? Because we're pretty complicated.
Because maybe we like to feed the doom and gloom. Maybe we like to feel the victimization. Maybe we like to think the negative, because maybe we've been conditioned to do so. Or maybe we got attention from doing that. But at some point, you have to stop and go, am I being a solution where I am feeding the possibilities, feeding the opportunities, feeding the hope? Feeding the love, the kindness, and the caring, or am I part of that equation that's feeding the negativity? Misery loves mis company, and negativity loves thrives on others being negative. If we chose not to buy into the negativity, which doesn't mean we're not acknowledging what's going on, we're just choosing to white light it, to love it, to empower it, rather than become it.
Yeah, lovely put. Lovely put. Which leads to something I really hoped we would be able to bring in, is the power of choosing community and
Yes.
retreat experiences and things like that. So since I've been doing that kind of service for 21 years now, I am deeply an advocate for the power that happens there.
Yes.
It can be so challenging to make a choice like that. You take time out of your schedule that's already
Busy.
full. You invest money that you're not sure what you're going to get in return, right? Because you're going in for something very valuable and very important, your own transformation, your own nurturance, your own healing. And yet over and again, I have found that they are some of the most potent experiences that stay with us for the rest of our lives.
Yes.
Pre-COVID, well, for many years, I was leading, you know, upwards of a retreat a month. And then offering smaller weekend kinds of workshops and things like that. And there is something also that it provides a container that's holding your highest intention. Like it's specifically geared for that.
Yes.
What situations do you get
yes.
where someone is going to provide a container where everything that's most important to you, that is the deepest, that is the most powerful parts of yourself, that is the love that you are, is going to provide that level of an integrity.
Yeah.
For experience. Amazing.
You're stepping outside of yourself.
Yeah.
You're stepping outside of your expectation, the dictation of your life, and you're allowing vulnerably and surrendering into a platform that allows the true essence of who you are to be discovered, to be ignited.
Yes. Yes.
And we can't always ignite that essence and presence of who we are in our own environment. We need to step out of that environment, leave that chaotic self behind, be that blank slate that then allows all that divine energy to come in and switch you on and ignite your heart and soul where you can discover that love essence of who you are and that beautiful ball of light that then surrounds your heart and fills your very being. You can take back to your world.
Yes.
And start easing the chaos that is around it.
Yes. I love the way that you put that, and adding some detail on that. The twofold, well, there's probably many, but the twofold effects that happen when you step away is first, you step out of the construct of your life.
Yes.
And you step into that unknown. But secondarily, you step out of all of your neural pathway ways of being because you stepped into something very unfamiliar, and your brain, even just on a brain level, your brain will be assimilating things in a different way. You'll be who you are. You bring your conditioning with you, but simply the good stressor of stepping out of one thing and into the unknown that's holding the highest purpose, it sets up your neural pathways to fire in new ways.
Yes.
And the energetics that come then from the life force into the nadis, into the meridians, then into the nervous system, that has an easier time helping establish new neural pathways.
Yes.
Helping boost your immune system in new ways.
Yes.
Helping to heal the heart in new ways. Yes.
Become the breath that you seek, because so many of us in so many ways are holding our breath. Right? In so many ways. And it allows people to exhale and take in a new breath that is more fortifying.
Yes, 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 yes. Amen. I just want to throw out some hallelujahs.
Why not? But there we have to recognize that is, we're pointing a finger at everyone else saying it's the system, it's this and that. Yes, the system is broken. There's so many systems out there that are broken. But stop waiting on other people to fix them.
Yeah.
Because there's three fingers pointing at you saying, but what about your own internal system? How are you going to bring balance? How are you going to bring love? How are you going to bring joy or meaningful purpose into your own beingness? And understand that by changing the system within you, you are now collectively, you are that instrument that joins that orchestra that changes the system
right.
as a whole, as a collective. But people have to understand it's not an exterior thing. It is an interior thing that resonates out.
Yes, yes, yes. And in that, we discover that essential movement in all things. When we discover it in ourselves, it makes it an easier path, if not an effortless path, to have compassion flow for all living things. Because we discover that within ourselves, as stepping into our own transformative process, that the elementals from deep within then connect us to the experience of the other in a more penetrating way. And it's a lot easier to go from the ways we can look at it superficially and maybe make a quick judgment to actually penetrate it and not deny where there are wrong, where a wrong happens or does not happen, where there's need, where there's lack, where there's need for change, not deny that, but it catches it up in a perspective that's far more wise.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And, you know, that's, you know, I always talk about opening up for the divine wisdom to come through, is that resonates with the heart and truth, lifts the spirit into action, and our mind will know what it needs to know when it know, needs to know it. We've got to understand that our database in our head is filled with knowledge. But often we don't know how to use that knowledge in the situation we're in. We don't know how to apply that knowledge. That's where the divine wisdom comes in. And it shows you what it is you need in your knowledge to apply to the situation that is going to best serve you.
Yes, yes, yes. And we discover there too, one of the things I love in Barbara Brennan's work is she speaks about all of creation being a field of intelligence. I love that. So if we are part of the field of intelligence and we're walking in the field of intelligence, if we want to position it a little, then when we are open in these ways, we have access to intelligence that we don't have access to when we're only narrowed in on one specific tiny little facet.
Right.
It's like kind of building out our resources, and it comes to us easefully, effortlessly, and with it goes the I'm quoting so many different references and all of that, but in Deepak Chopra's book, The Seven Spiritual Laws of Success, in that he points out that when we have connection on that level, all of the organizing steps to bring it to fulfillment are inherently in it and can reveal themselves along the way. We don't have to have it all
No, we don't need a manual.
Right.
You don't need the manual. Just be willing. You know, the biggest leap is that first step. Just be willing to put the one foot in front of the other again in wonderment, in openness, in allowing. And the next step will be revealed. And the next step will be revealed. We don't need to have the whole manual. Well, I need to get to step 10 by such and such. No, blank slate, right? That there's wisdom that you're given, the skills and tools that you're given by people like yourself that you can put in your backpack on your journey, for your journey.
Yes.
But that journey must be walked openly and unknowingly in order to truly discover.
Yes, 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 yes. Oh, good stuff.
You know, I'm actually hoping to have Deepak Chopra on because he just did a course with Irvin Laszlo and Master Shah, both of them spiritual leaders in their own way, with their own skill and tool. And it's, you know, we have very many different interpretations or just tools of igniting ourselves and opening ourselves up. And it's up to us to kind of explore and discover which one is good for us, which one truly ignites us, which one we really can connect with. And it's, you know, please don't do the human thing. Well, I tried it once and it didn't work, right? It's like, try again until you find that connection where you're in the right space, in the right mind, at the right time, with the right connection that opens you up. Be willing to explore and try the various mediums until that one thing speaks to you. And then maybe it's only the one thing for the next few steps. And after that, there is something else for more steps. But please don't restrict yourself on, it's got to be like this, or it's got to be in this way, or, you know, that didn't work, so I'm not going to try again. No. Just be willing to put the exploratory mind in there and go, I'm going to try every avenue until I truly am ignited.
So well to put it that way. It can be so easy to get so discouraged when we take valuable time or valuable money or whatever it is that we're taking to make a choice, to take a course or to invest in a workshop or to take a retreat, to bank so much on it, and then to make this black and white decision about how helpful or not that it was, and to miss again the opportunity to see, oh, I'm actually responding to the movement of the divine within me, which means I'm responding on the path of discovery and self-discovery.
By setting it up as a retreat, you're going into that orchestra of combined energies, of combined instruments. You are the tool that harmonizes that. That puts people, you produce the piece of music that will have everybody playing in harmony with each other. And they will not only discover themselves, but through the energy of everybody in discovery, everybody igniting their energy, it switches each and every one on. And in that harmony, in that resonance of what comes out of there, when they leave, they don't leave alone. They leave with the other's energy, and they can always tune in to that other energy at any time.
And I love to always bring into the conversation of retreats and experiences like that the threefold process of ritual. There's been a lot of anthropological and sociological studies of ritual and how much, as human beings, it's an integral part of our lives. And we know this in simple ways, like if you have your coffee always a certain way or a certain time of the day. I mean, as simple as that, that can have huge effects in both ways. The looking forward to it, the experience of it can boost so much serotonin, can increase so much harmony within the body, and can give fuel towards the rest of your day. And there's three pieces to it. And it was interesting when I started teaching meditation 20 years ago, I didn't realize that I actually had a process. And the process was this threefold method of ritual. Again, that I didn't realize that I actually had a formal process that used all three parts. But it's a good way, I think, to even look at ritual and any choice we make for our personal development. And the first you mentioned is separation. We choose to step away from our normal ways of doing things or looking at things. The second, which is the body of the experience, is liminality. And liminality is a concept in humanity. Right now, you mentioned with the experience of devastation and destruction, when we are brought to the edge of all we know. So we can go there kicking our feet, or we can go there willingly. But no matter what, any development is going to happen when we come to the edge of what we know and we expand, because we're in a scale expanding cosmos, into the new knowing. That liminality happens then in a powerful way when you're making a choice that's of a spiritual nature. And then, just as important and valuable, is the third piece, the reaggregation. And that is the integration of the self into all of its parts and its new way of being, and returning to its particular lifestyle in a new way. And the lifestyle itself becomes something quite different, even if some of the pieces are the same, right? If you have a family, you still have your family, and you take people to school, and you make dinners and or eat dinners, and whatever your role is in your families and careers. And I love that threefold process because it names it, and it's a mechanism that works for us. It's like one of these practical tools. It's like, oh, I see how that works. And I love inviting people. I do it myself from time to time, like, rituals are really alive for me right now? You know, is it putting on my socks a certain way in the morning? You know, or I mean, the simplest things. And what rituals or what choices that are part of my day that have a ritual construct like that maybe were alive at one point but are no longer alive?
Right, exactly. Taking restock, right? You know,
Yeah.
I often associate it with giving birth to yourself. You know, there is obviously the conception part of it. And I think that is then the decision to take the journey, decision to take that first step forward, the discovery of self and who and what you are. Then there is, you know, that gestation of the rebuilding your life, the reincorporating, the letting go, the re-embracement. And then there's the actual birthing. And that is that, you know, that the edge of your life of completely letting go of what you know and becoming this new birth, this beautiful blank slate of someone new that is, it is already attuned into the senses. When you look at a newborn baby, the amount of senses that they have, they obviously they can't articulate other than through a cry, right? But they are so attuned already. You know, that everything about them is attunement and they're absorbing and they're taking everything in. And it's like, look at yourself as a newborn and take everything in. But because you are older and you have the intellect and you can articulate, you can choose what you take in and say no to what does not serve you.
Right. Yes. I love that. There is a great freedom to be had. And as human beings, I think one of the essential qualities to being fully human is freedom.
Yes. And not the freedom against repression. It's, you have to understand that repression is in you,
right.
Is in you, is letting go of your own repression. You know, those that shout and argue and complain the most, it's the discord within themselves.
Yes.
That is happening. And when you find that equilibrium, that peace within yourself, that love within yourself, that essence within yourself, that's when you've truly found freedom.
Yes. And live freely and wildly.
Yes.
Like I was just with a girlfriend recently in San Francisco, and we were talking about being wild again and ways that, you know, we are not as wild in the best sense of that word.
Yes.
In that untamed, that unconditioned self.
Yes. And it doesn't mean going wild, you know, suddenly having a mud t-shirt thing. You know, it is a sense of wildness of, I think, a sense of rawity, you know, being raw, you know, and ready to experience and react in a way that is, it, you know, sharing your exuberance.
Yes.
I mean, I've just written my memoir. And it's quite daunting, you know, to write about your life, as you know. And I've written it from an observing point of view in article form. And you know, kind of looking at, I've incorporated some of the articles that I've written through the time because they expressed, you know, the moment and what I was going through. But looking at the past few years of where I was, the turmoil I was in, and the process and the change of my discovery as I have become and where I am at now. And I think very often it's healthy to look back to understand how far you've come.
Yeah.
Because you realize, gosh, I have, you know, I started putting one foot in front of the other, but in various places I took the leap.
Yes, that is, and I'm so excited to read your memoir. What's the name of it?
A Leap into Self-Love.
Oh, there we go. Wow. That's juicy. That is so awesome.
Because I had to discover my own self-love, right? You know, stop looking at it and the approval and permission from everyone else. It always laid within me.
Yes. Yeah, magnificent. Wow. I don't have a name for my second book. In fact, the manuscript is the second and third book, and is at present 870 pages. And then the next 6 weeks, I'll be doing the second edit and then hand it to edit publisher people. And my titles come at the very end of things. I've learned that about my process, where someone will have the clear insight of what the title is and then can be faithful to the title or work title. Mine, I find, has to come. It's almost like I'm pregnant and I don't know what I want my baby's name to be yet. So I see the baby.
Well, I mean,
Oh, this is John.
this title actually did come at the end when I'd finished writing it. I had various other things, and I had, all it took was a leap into self-love, and then feedback was shorten it, and then just simply a leap into self-love, as being the explanatory of it. And it's articles of my journey and of my self-discovery. 50 articles are there. Some are small, some are bigger. And the one thing I've learned is, as long as one can read it, grammar and spelling and et cetera, it is write your truth, write your essence. There is no right or wrong way. It has to represent who you are and not be disconnected from who you are. Because when people are reading something, they want to read the essence of you in it. Whereas certain publishers want to change everything, I'm self-publishing, so that's not happening. And it is what it is, all right? And people can read it or not read it. I'm not defined by whether they do or not. It was asked for me to write my story, and I wrote it, and it's there. And there's always something, well, maybe I should have done this, or maybe I should have done that. And at some point, you've got to go, just let it go and be what it is, right?
Yes, because as create, it's like flowers in the field, right? And then they bloom and they give off their fragrance, and some smell that fragrance and others
Yes.
don't smell that fragrance, and yet they are glowing just
Right.
by being expression.
Yeah.
Yeah,
And
being.
I've done it in a way that you can pretty well read every article on its own,
Oh,
or you
nice.
could read it in sequence, or you can read it in any which way. So, it doesn't have to be a linear book. So it's because I'm an article writer rather than, the chapter writer. So, but it's, I think it was very, very interesting in the reflection of my self-discovery, and looking at, where it came from 21 years ago now, as of this month, when I left my husband, and looking at that recovery, but looking at the shattered pieces I was at that time, and even putting me back together, sometimes the pieces didn't fit. And it was, looking back and then looking where I'm at now, and really liking where I'm at now, liking who I am now. And that was that willingness to take that self-discovery, the willingness to take the journey, the willing to be blind, deaf, and dumb in order to see, hear, and feel. And it's the more that you surrender and allow, the more that is revealed that you need to know in the now.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for sharing. Yes. My book is fundamentally, the theme is the evolutionary process of consciousness becoming form. And it plays out as a continuation of the memoir story, and is the framework is really the historical account of building the $9 million monastery, and the way I was called into doing it without the experience or the money or the background, and the miracle that flowed through me and through everyone else. But because the story of it is so complex, it hits all the dark and light
All the shades and shadows.
within me, in religion, in the local community, in society. And my sensitivity and awareness that we are all on this evolutionary path together. And it my hope is, as people read it, and like you, I know you really everyone's going to come at it from where they are for whatever purpose they're drawn to it, is that it will reach in and actually be an experience of encouragement upon the path. Because There's a hero's journey there. There's more than one hero's journey happening. There is the magnificence of the potential in humanity. There is the devastation of our woundedness, still challenging brilliance to come forward without holding it at arm's length or slapping suspicion upon it or working against it. You know, we still have these energetic power imbalances that are happening. And my hope is that in the seeing the emergence of what happens in this storyline, that there is a deeper healing of the ways that we create divisions around black and white and right and wrong and dark and light. And the discovery that we have that hope alive within us. And that hope is simply to be love, to be love in the world. And I think what's amazing when we still see it in history, it's still happening today, is that when these things happen that are miracles, whether they're really big and they affect the community, whether they are hidden in behind a closed door in someone's room, miracles themselves, because they are so much a manifestation of what we don't understand, still get pushed down.
Mm-hmm.
Or the person gets pushed down, or you know, the labeling happens on it still.
Yes.
So even when you have something incredibly powerful and brilliant happening, that's so obviously happening. Like for me, when the monastery was being built and it was sheer miracle day after day of all this synchronicity and all these, for me, I was humbled every single day. And as a young, innocent religious, it wasn't difficult from a resistance standpoint. It was more difficult from just the anguish standpoint.
Yes. Of,
this is amazing that not everybody is moved by the beauty of what is happening. That actually other things are happening, like suspicion around money and gossip behind doors. That, and you know, that was a small piece, but that also in our society still wields a lot of power.
A distrust of something good.
Distrust of something good, and it can wreak havoc.
Yes.
And it could, you know, that 3% of that distrust can cast such a big shadow on the 97%.
I know.
Of this radiant, beautiful. And so it pulls back veils on all of these things just by virtue of the reality of the project, which is awesome because I've got something very tangible. It's not just in the etheric realms. Like you can even go and see the monastery. And I went and visited it right before the lockdown, and it looks like it was built yesterday.
Mm.
25 years later, it looks like it literally, there's not a crack in any of the mortar. I mean, it's just, it blew me away, which is such a tangible example that can point to the brilliance within us and the invitation to really, really let the healing happen to all the ways the distrust and the trauma kind of lay up difficulties to get to that brilliance.
But, you know, it's also a testimony that no matter what the 3% was trying to do, the truth of what it was and what it represented has stood the test of time.
Yes. Yeah, well put.
So, you know, very often when something is so transforming, and especially when something is so good, you will have people resist against it. A, they're maybe not on the same frequency. They cannot see it through the same lens. But because there has been so much mistrust around the world, being represented by so many people, that people are automatically in that state of being, that state of mind, to distrust anything good. And this is where we have to understand that distrust may come from your experience, but unless we're willing to change our experience, we're never going to let that go. We're never going to be able to trust again. And at some point, and I've always been accused of being too much an optimist,
I'm with you. That's why
Yeah,
we're friends.
all right. And I've got into much trouble, especially financial, through being an optimist, through believing in something, through believing in people, and, to be let down. And yes, it was sad. Yes, the vision didn't come to fruition the way it should have because other people allowed that distrust to get in the way. But there's always a reason behind something, even if something is not completely built, what else was built in its place? Like all the things that happened to me back in those years led me to Hagglass disruption, bottoming out, living out of my car, that led me into this path of becoming a podcaster, which I've been doing 10 and a half years, where I feel I'm really at home where I'm at. Right. And had I not gone through that, would I have had this opportunity? So there's always a reason behind something. But I think we have to question ourselves when we look and go, too good to be true. Who's saying that? Is this society saying that? Is this you distrusting it because of the past experience? And why is it that you can't get behind something and allow it to be and show you how great it is, or even become a part of that greatness along the way? We have to look at ourselves and why we are doing that and maybe change the way we think.
Yes.
Because no matter what that 3% did, it's still standing.
It's standing.
So we ask ourselves, do we want to be part of that 3% naysayer? Or do we want to be part of that collective and go, let's believe in it, let's make it work, let's come together and make sure that this piece of music is transcending, and how much more empowering it is when we come together collectively in that music, rather than being against something just because you're bitter and twisted over something over the past.
And you bring up a fresh point is we always have choice.
Yes.
So in our understanding of our path, we have this another paradox, the opportunity to be so gentle to understand all the reasons we are the way we are,
Yeah.
and the choice to say, okay, I'm carrying some trauma, but I have a choice and I don't have to be identified for that. And what do I need to do? We do always have that choice. And it can seem daunting when we discover we're motivated by some deep unconscious that hasn't been healed. It can seem really scary.
Yeah.
But hence turning to modalities, right? Great healers, teachers, leaders, retreats.
Yeah. Igniters, yes. And I carry scars, but what? A warrior at the end of the time will carry those scars with pride. Right? I have the scars, pride or not pride, but I have those scars, and there's no amount of, oh no, la 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 la, they're not there. Those scars are there, but they're only scars. I'm not in that situation anymore. I won that battle one way or the other, and there are scars to remind me of the battle I fought, but I'm no longer a victim of that battle. I'm no longer in that war.
I love that image of the warrior relishing the
Yeah.
scars and
I survived. I won. I live. I have choice. Right? That is winning. Right? The scars are just scars of the battle that you fought and won or survived. Maybe you didn't win the battle, but you survived. You still have choice in your life, no matter what the scars are. Don't try and cover up the scars. Don't try and hide the scars. They're there. There's what made you into who you are today. I survived, and the scars are here to show you the battles that I fought, right? And they're there. Whether I'm proud of them or whether I acknowledge them, they're there. They're a part of me, right? And they're just as a representation of the battles I fought. But I'm still here, and I
And
still have free will.
hear even more fully as love.
And the lesson, I think one of the hardest things for human beings to find is that self-love. Right? Am I worthy? Do I deserve it? Am I being, an ego? And until you truly, honestly, take the journey into self-love and understand the enrichment of that self-love, understand how that self-love grows so exponentially in such a way that resonates out that love and everything that you do, you really will understand the empowerment of that self-love and how giving and how sharing it really is. But we've got to step into it. So we need to go to retreats. We need to read the books. We need to experience your workshops. So, do you have a retreat coming up at all?
I have, so I have a numerous things. I have two retreats happening in the Yucatan Peninsula. Actually, I have a short retreat October 1st and 2nd in Santa Barbara that you can attend virtually or in person called Expanding Your Love Force. And I'm co-leading that with Sarah McLean, a colleague of mine who's a Hay House author and beautiful. She has a meditation school and just a beautiful being. And then I have more full-blown, but full-bodied retreats that are longer. The February one is full, but I do have space in the March one, and it will be in the Yucatan. It'll be from March 2nd through the 12th. And I have about eight spots, and it will be this powerful weaving. The title of it is Activation, Anchor In, Awaken. And it will all be geared towards those three goals for the attendees. And we'll be doing things like having our sessions in the Mayan ruins in Coba. We will be having them at cenotes. We will have some great Latin activation and movement. We will be doing essential living oils in what we do as well. And lots, it's got a full itinerary. So if you go to my website, kimberlybraun.com/events, you will find all of the itinerary and info there. And then on a beautiful level, way back when we had our time together last time, I had just built an online spiritual community, Essence Tribe. However, and it has 70 members. However, I just worked with the people that signed up right back then because I took a director position working with the homeless. COVID just set in motion. People were losing their homes, economic strife. And so I worked up until May 31st of this year with that organization, with our programming. So I am right now reopening and relaunching, if you will, Essence Tribe. And this is a powerful form of community. Right now it's all online, though I see it growing to have local in-person chapters. And it's a place to explore your truth, to experience mystic reflections and group exchange, meditation, and all sorts of other things. And I have a 5-day free challenge that anybody can attend. We'll be offering it on October 3rd. And it's kind of a way to get to know me. So if you're watching this and you don't know me, but you feel a bit of a draw that you would like to be spiritual friends with me and find it good for your growth in being love in the world, you can attend this with no other obligations. And the sessions will go into five different meditation practices. And then the Essence Tribe is very low cost and annual membership and lots of perks. So, and then of course, the book will be coming out.
Right, exactly, which we will have you back for that, most certainly, and certainly not leave it so long. We had interrupters in the meantime, but everything happens when it's meant to. And so it's Kimberly Braun, that is KimBerlyBraun .com and EssenceTribe.com. She's also on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn under Kimberly Braun. But also, as I've said, please come to selfdiscoverymedia.com and just put in Reverend Kimberly Brown, and you will see all of her shows. Rev, it's just Rev, not the whole Reverend Kimberly Brown. And you'll see all of the shows that she's done with us here, the chapter that she wrote in our first book. And you'll see all the beautiful other things that she's doing here, standing strong and happy in the storm. That, do you still have that going?
I do, yes.
Great.
So
The
that's
8 weeks of practices and perspectives created to set you free, which is wonderful. And so yeah, so you've got all of that there, and I encourage people, please, to go and listen to the other shows. You've had a feeling and an essence of how we vibe, and there's so much other beautiful, beautiful, beautiful vibrations that she shares in the other shows as well. Please read the chapter in the book, and she was interviewed by Charles Edwardes on Gus, God, Universe, and Spirit. And so please listen in, because this is what it's about. This is why we do this, is to share our journey, to share our wisdom that has come through us, to ignite our heart and soul and spirits in order to share it out with all of you, to show you how you can ignite it within yourself. That is the entire purpose behind it all. We're here for you and here to help you be there for yourself.
Amen. Thank you so much for having me. It is awesome to have a conversation with you again.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And to see you again soon with your book. And please, folks, go back and listen to the other shows. And don't forget to share, 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 share. Let other people experience this wonderful wisdom as well. Always a pleasure, my darling. Always.
Same here, my friend.
And
Same.
until next time, folks, remember, igniting your heart and soul and spirit is the most beautiful space that you will ever live in. And it changes your perception on life entirely. And it gives you the empowerment to be that solution that the world seeks. So until next time, bye for now. We hope that you enjoyed the show. Find all of our shows on selfdiscoverymedia.com under podcasts or selfdiscoverymedia/shows. And for all our current shows, go to What's New. We are supported by you, the audience. You will see a nice big shiny blue button for one-time donations or follow us on Patreon, and you will be able to support us there. We enjoy bringing you such wisdom, and the next show will be up in just a moment.